And a very good morning to you. It's John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group back with you for another program of The Law and You. Therefore, it must be Tuesday morning, although you probably didn't need to be reminded of that. The first Tuesday in November, and there's a big race going to happen later in the day. I think it's called the 4CRB Cup. I heard the horses being announced this morning, or the runners being announced, and the lucky people who've managed to score a runner in that big race, which will precede that other race that happens down in Melbourne later in the day. So you're probably sorting out your day in relation to the Melbourne Cup. It's certainly going to be a Melbourne Cup like no other, isn't it, with no one allowed to attend the big race down in Victoria. So I'm just wondering whether they're going to have some of that canned crowd that they'll play in the background like they've been doing at the football to make you think that there's a huge number of people there. It's been very effective with the football, I must say, hearing the canned crowd. It has sounded normal, although the cameras have been trying to avoid shots of the stadium to show that there's no one there, and that's fair enough. It builds a nice atmosphere. So if you're just going to enjoy the race today, or if you're going to have a little bit of a flutter, whatever you're doing, all the very best for your day. I hope you have an enjoyable one. Fully expect it won't be too busy on The Law and You today, because everyone's probably devoted, but this is your opportunity to get free legal advice. 55208888. It'll be a good day to get through, because I expect that we won't have too many calls, but we have got someone who's very quick out of the blocks. Thomas, good morning. Thomas, how are you today? Thomas, are you there?
Yes, I am, John.
Good morning. How are you today? I'm well indeed.
Very
and yourself?
Well, thank you.
Good
thank
on you.
Thank you. John, a tree problem. Adjacent to our property, out on the footpath, is a very, very large poinciana tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's about, I believe it's about 30 years old. It's got big limbs, etc. There's quite a few of this one particular limb that leans towards our property, and if anything happened, that would fall down on our property.
Yes.
Now, we get the council to come out and ask them to work on the tree, and we've asked them to sort of cut it back, or better still, get rid of it, unfortunately. But they will only ever do what they want to do.
Mm.
In other words, they won't touch the large limbs. Now, if something happened and one of these and a big limb fell on our property, who's responsible for the repair to our property?
Well, Thomas, I suspect that it would probably, depending on the circumstances, if it fell down in a high wind or something of that nature,
yes.
I suspect
yes.
that it would be regarded as storm damage under your insurance,
yes.
and therefore it would be covered under that. I don't know that you have any right against the council in relation to it. One thing, have you ever spoken to the council, and I don't know the answer to this question, but I'm just posing it. Have you spoken, does the particular limb you're talking about, does it actually come across your fence?
Not, up very high, the smaller branches can do.
Right.
But they're the ones that they will cut back.
Yes.
Okay. But the big one that's sort of leaning our way, they just refuse to touch it.
Yeah, so if it's, I'm not sure whether if it was over your fence, you would actually be entitled to cut it back to the boundary. You can certainly do that on a tree that's coming across to your property from an adjoining
yes.
neighbour's
yes.
property, as you would well know.
Yes.
The only other thing that I could suggest you do would be to write a letter to your local councillor and just put them on notice that you regard this tree as a danger to people on the footpath and also to your property, and that you're putting them on notice that if this tree comes down and causes damage to your property or to anyone using the footpath, that you will hold the council liable. There's nothing like throwing a bit of liability their way and making them think about what their liability may be. if something happens where you forewarn them that this is a danger, because quite often councils and other organisations can get out of liability on the basis of saying, well, the danger was not reasonably foreseeable. But if they've been put on notice that there is a perceived danger and that, you know, in certain circumstances, it's going to either cause significant property damage or alternatively, potentially, if someone was walking along the footpath when that limb fell down, it would potentially kill them. So I think maybe that would be a good idea to write a letter to your councillor and just see what sort of response you get.
Yes. Well, my wife has spoken to Daphne McDonald's, as a councillor in our area.
Yep, very nice lady.
Very approachable. Mm. And what's this? Lana has had a chat with her, we've got to go back. She's got to go back and see her again. But I think we'll mention those points that you have just mentioned.
Yes, I would certainly do that because, I think there's nothing like putting them on notice, putting the council organisation on notice that they will be held liable. It will depend on what happens down the track as to whether there is a cause of action or not. But at least if you've written, there has been a warning given.
Terrific. All right, then. Thanks, John.
Okay, Thomas, the very best. Time on 4CRB is just charging along, just like the horses today. 9:10 it is, as we say a very good morning to Jeff. G'day, Jeff. How are you today?
Yeah, good, John. Good.
How can we help?
I may have a problem with the council again, too.
Right.
That's a previous caller. Now, listen, I've got a pipe, about a 2-foot stormwater pipe running through my property, which was put there by 2 owners ago. Now, the council were around last week with their cameras and everything going through the drains. On this pipe, there is no easement over my property, mm-hmm. and it goes underneath 2 buildings which have been authorised or what would you call it?
So approved, yes.
Yeah, right, yeah. Now, the problem I got, they want to put an easement over my property, which I don't want them to do.
Mm.
I'm quite happy if them come on the property and fix the drain, whatever they have to do. But they're insisting on putting this easement over my property, which I'm totally against.
Mm.
Now, do I have the right to say, no, you can't do that, or are they just going to railroad me?
It's an interesting one, Jeff. Years ago, and I remember it particularly when Brisbane was being sued, the council didn't take easements for sewage pipes and such like, and so you would have to do what was called a sewage search to find where pipes ran under your property. Now,
right.
I think, and I haven't been involved in conveyancing for many, many years now, but I believe that's changed and that councils now are tending to insist on easements where there are pipes so that they can, A, warn anyone buying the property that there's a pipe there, and right. secondly, so that they can have a legal right to come on and do work. So I think under the previous situation where the sewage pipes were just run through, for example, Brisbane, I'm fairly sure there was legislation that actually allowed the council to come onto your property and take a look at those pipes and repair them, even though there wasn't an easement. So it might be something that you need to look into a little bit more. Which part of the Gold Coast are you on, Jeff? Whereabouts do you live? What suburb?
Talabudra.
Okay. Yeah. Well, look, what I would suggest you could do is you could possibly ring the Gold Coast Community Legal Centre and Advice Bureau. Have you got a pen handy?
Yep.
Their number's 553-29611. Now, they visit various centres up and down the coast, so you could organise to book a time when they're going to be around where you are. Or the other alternative...
Sorry, John, I didn't get that number. I got three, two.
Sorry. So the number is... where are we? It's 553-29611.
Yeah, got that.
Okay, now the other alternative would be... My Community Legal, which was previously known as the Robina Community Legal Centre. Now, they operate from 6:30 until 8:30pm on a Thursday evening in the Gold Coast City Council Robina Community Centre, which is over in Robina Town Centre Drive. I believe at the moment they may be requiring people to book to go. So I can give you a number to call so that you could go and see them as well, if that's a more convenient place to go.
Yeah.
And the number is 0423-466-286. So what I would suggest, do you have a copy of the title deed for your home? Or the plan, the plan that shows the block?
I would have a, yes, that's right, I would have a copy of that, yeah.
Okay, and do you also have...
Definitely no reason on it.
Yeah, and you also have a copy of the approvals for the buildings that now stand on that easement?
Yeah, I have a copy of the latest approval that was put on now, there. The original building was already there.
Yep, so the important thing... So you think that a previous owner put that storm pipe in?
Yes, yes, because I was talking to him later on. He's probably asked me, but...
right, okay.
He definitely did, and the council didn't put it, definitely...
And so the council arguably didn't know it was there, by the sound of it.
Maybe not.
That's the dilemma. The other issue is that if there's a storm pipe running underneath a building, normally what they require is for the foundations to be what they call pier and arched, which means that they pier either side of the pipe so that if something happens, they can excavate under without damaging the building. So I think it's something that needs a lot more discussion than we've got time for today. So I think either of those two alternatives might help. All right then.
Okay.
Okay,
thank
Jeff,
you, John.
All the very best. Time on 4CRB is just rolling along, 16 minutes past 9 as we say a very good morning to Hilary. Good morning, Hilary. How are you today? Hello, Hilary. Are you there?
Yes.
How are you, Hilary?
I'm fine, thank you.
That's good. How can we help you today?
Oh, it's just a quick question.
Sure.
If you're in a de facto relationship,
mm-hmm.
how long have you got to be in that relationship before that person's got any claim on your affairs?
Well, you're regarded as being in a de facto relationship after you've been living together basically as husband and wife for a period of 2 years. So it's 2 years, or alternatively, if there's a child born, so if there's a pregnancy and a child born of the relationship in less than 2 years, then you're deemed to be in a de facto relationship from that point forward.
No, it's just that there wouldn't be a child born. I was just trying to clarify something.
Yes, and that's why
I wanted to know how long you had to be in that. Because I think it used to be years ago, you only had to be in it 6 months or something.
To the best of my knowledge, and certainly as long as I can remember, Hillary, it's always been 2 years. I would certainly stand to be corrected because, again, family law is not my primary area of practice.
No.
It's mainly asset protection and estate planning, but certainly I do know the current law in relation to de facto relationships.
Thank you very much, and I really enjoy your program.
Well, thanks very much for that, Hilary. It's lovely to take your call. And all the best on the cup today. Time on 4CRB is 17 minutes past 9. That's past 10 on the Tweed. We've got no one online at the moment, so if you have a question or a query for the Law on You, you can give us a call right now, 5520888. That number's 5520888. We'll be back after this word from our sponsor.
I speak to a lot of seniors and hear a common story. Retirement resorts offer a great lifestyle but don't have care, while aged care facilities have care but fall short on lifestyle. So we thought, why not combine the two? And we created Odyssey Lifestyle Care Communities. Here you'll have all the features of a retirement resort with first-class on-site care. I'm Phil, and I'm proud to say Odyssey is now open at Robina. Search Odyssey Robina online or phone 5551 6720.
And this is the Law and You on 4CRB, our telephone number 5520888. Presently, as I said, no callers online, so if you have a question or a query that you would like answered, give us a call right now, 5520888. Don't forget, we do have an email address, talkback, that's one word, at 4CRB.com. And if you send us an email question, we'll deal with that next week. One thing that I found during the week, which I was quite surprised by, and I found it very, very interesting indeed, is a report that is issued by the Australian Taxation Office. It's an annual report on the tax gap estimates for, and this is for 2019-2020. Now, what the tax gap is an estimate of the difference between the amount of tax the ATO collects and what it would collect if every taxpayer was fully compliant with the tax law. Now, the interesting thing is that high wealth and medium businesses, they estimate there's $1.7 million of tax not collected. Excise, which is on wines and spirits and such like, imported, is $1.7 billion. Large corporate groups, $2 billion. Goods and services tax, $5 billion. But these were the ones that really surprised me. Small business, $11.1 billion, and individuals not in business, $8.3 billion. Now, I think there's always been a misconception that it's the very wealthy who avoid tax, and this report seems to suggest that whilst there is a significant amount there, $1.7 billion, the major estimates are from individuals not in business, $8.3 billion, and small business at $11.1 billion. But enough of that. We've got some callers online, and we'll say a very good morning to Marilyn. G'day, Marilyn. How are you today?
Oh, hi, John. How are you?
Very well, thanks. How can we help?
It's about the enduring power of attorney law change at the end of November.
Yes.
I made an enduring power of attorney in 2012 through the public trustee for my sister to be the emotional power of attorney.
And so that's your personal attorney?
Personal attorney. Yep. And for the public trustee to be my financial attorney.
Yep.
Now, they said to me, get your sister to sign it and get it back to us as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she did sign it in 2012 and she agreed.
Yep.
Now, because of one thing and another, I never did get back to the public trustee. And then I found out that they actually do start charging your account pretty well as much as you get it back to them, you know?
Okay, I thought they only charged once they started doing work for you as your attorney.
Well, anyway, I don't want them to be. Anyway,
right.
My sister, when my mother passed away a few years ago, since then, about a year or two ago, I reminded her of this and she said she didn't want to do it anymore.
Right, okay.
So I want to get, well, I have to. I have nobody else at the moment that I can think of.
Mm.
I have to get rid of her and I have to get rid of the public trustee simply because I don't have a lot of money and I can't have them cutting in all the time financially.
Mm.
So what do I do?
Right. Well, you're in a bit of a difficult situation there, Marilyn. I think I would first check with the public trustee as to whether they do in fact charge before they're required to act. It's my understanding that they would only start charging when they start doing things for you. So if you lose capacity, for example, that's the only time. But if you don't want the public trustee as your attorney, then you would need to think about who might be able to take that role for you, whether you have a trusted friend or family member that you could use, or a professional advisor that you've dealt with that you would feel comfortable appointing to that role. And if you're going to make a new power of attorney, you can still make it under the old form as long as you do it prior to 30 November. But after 30 November, it'll have to be under the new form.
So I can download those forms, can't I?
Yes, at the moment, I think they're
But don't I have to send my sister a revocation?
Well, if you make a new power of attorney, that will automatically revoke the old power of attorney. So if she said she doesn't...
Oh, I thought you had to send them a revocation.
Well, you can send a revocation, and you can have a revocation document prepared and signed and send that. But the making of a new power of attorney and then simply writing to your sister and advising her that you've made a new power of attorney has the same effect.
Okay. Well, what if I can't come up with somebody before the 30th of November? That's the problem.
Well, then maybe it doesn't matter whether it's before the 30th of November or after the 30th of November. The problem is going to be the same. So I think I would be really putting on your thinking cap and going through all of your friends and relatives and thinking of people that you think you could trust to that role. You may look at, I don't know whether you have an accountant that you deal with or some other professional advisor. So, you know, there are often options for people who have no one else to appoint as well. All right then.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Sorry I can't help more, Marilyn, but all the very best. And the time on 4CRB is 25 minutes past 9, past 10 on the Tweed. As we say, a very good morning to Stan. G'day, Stan. How are you?
Good morning, John. Well, thanks. I hope you are.
I am indeed. How can I help?
I believe there are some super funds who require you to renew your beneficiary every 3 years.
Yep.
And what would happen if you developed dementia within that 3 years and were incapable of advising them? How do they decide where that those funds go when you pass?
What then happens is that the trustee of the super fund, if you don't have a binding death benefit nomination in place, then the trustee of the super fund will look at who has claim on your super, who comes within the class of persons, and that would be your spouse, a dependent child, or otherwise a child who's a member of your family. So they would look at those people who fall within that class, and they would make a decision there as to who they would allocate the super to.
Now, so really, it goes along the lines of who you've nominated in your will?
Not necessarily, because you may have nominated someone in your will who is not what's regarded as a CIS dependent, so someone who's not capable of receiving your superannuation. So, for example, a family friend is not eligible to receive your superannuation under your will, directly from the trustee of the super fund. The only way around that would be to make a binding death benefit nomination in favour of your legal personal representative, who is the executor under your will, and then the executor would distribute the superannuation in accordance with the terms of your will.
Now,
the other thing you can do, though, Stan, is that you could, in your power of attorney, you could put in there a power for your attorney to renew any binding death benefit nomination that you may have in place from time to time, so that if you lose capacity, your attorney can renew the binding death benefit nomination that you have in place when it requires renewal.
Oh, sure. Mm. Oh, fine.
All right.
Okay, thanks very much for that, John.
Okay, Stan, all the very best. And the time on 4CRB, 27 minutes past 9. That's, of course, past 10 on the Tweed. We probably have time for one more very quick call if there's someone out there who wants to raise a question or a query. But those last couple of calls, of course, do remind me about the pending date for the commencement of the new form of Enduring Power of Attorney and Advanced Health Directive, which is 30 November. So if you're looking to get a power of attorney done at the present time, and we've certainly seen a bit of a rush on these at the office, people wanting to get them in place under the current forms, then you must have them signed up prior to 30 November. Otherwise, if you don't get around to getting it signed and by that date, then unfortunately you can't sign it after that date, because the form will no longer be effective, and therefore after, if you're only getting around to signing after 30 November, you will have to have the power of attorney re-prepared in the correct form that will take effect on and from that date. So whatever you do, if you're thinking about a power of attorney at the moment, you've only got 26 days to get it organised, so you need to get your skates on and make sure that you do that. Well, that's probably about all we have time for today. I did have a couple of other things that I was going to talk about, but I think we might leave those to next week. I'm John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group. It's been great to be with you for another program of The Law and You today. I'll look forward to being back, of course, next Tuesday morning. But until then, it's goodbye and God bless.